to overall quality of life, including your own health. From the stress it creates to the worst-case scenarios of actual physical harm and loss of personal belongings, crime takes a toll on our well-being. Prevention is the best form of protection, and knowing a few essentials can keep you from being a victim. Regardless of where you live, however, crime can happen anywhere at any time. This means we should all exercise greater diligence and accept responsibility in protecting ourselves and families. It starts by avoiding situations where you'd need to defend yourself in the first place. Be aware of your surroundings and the people around you at all times, from being preoccupied with your smartphone to simply talking and texting. Distractions make you an easier target for criminals. Instead, stay alert, project confidence, and ensure eye contact has been made to those around you. It doesn't mean you need to do a complete stare down, but making eye contact serves notice to others you have seen them and know their location in proximity to yours. Also, listen to your instincts. If something just doesn't seem right by the way a person or people are looking or acting around you, take note and take action. Leave the area as quickly as possible or get to another location where others can help if necessary. Contact local law enforcement immediately if you witness any suspicious or obvious unlawful activity. Between our cities, highways, and counties, there's a tremendous area to cover for patrolling units. Law enforcement is only as good as the information they receive to better serve and protect our communities and neighborhoods. They rely on accurate reports to more efficiently provide these services in order to keep us safer. To assume they know when criminal activities occur is not reality. They need as many extra sets of eyes and ears as possible. When in doubt, report what you see as soon as possible. Criminals are often opportunistic and prey on victims who are oblivious to the world around them. To be less appealing, don't allow yourself to be an easy target. Start by making sure your valuables are accounted for by securing them appropriately and not leaving them out in the open unattended. While the best option is to leave them locked up at home altogether, keeping them from being visible should be your next priority. Consider what you're wearing and what is vitally necessary for any trips you take. Whether it's a quick run to the grocery store or a week-long vacation, avoid enticement for would-be attackers by taking the minimum required items you, specifically high-value items such as jewelry, electronics, and apparel. Lastly, make sure your vehicle is locked. As simple as this sounds, it works. An unlocked car makes easy work for would-be robbers. Sometimes evading situations may not be enough to avoid an assault or crime. If you fear an attack is imminent or inevitable, self-defense may be the last remaining option. Being proactive now rather than later, by training yourself appropriately to defend and escape an attack, is key. While some choose to take self-defense classes, others also obtain their concealed handgun license, CHL. While taking a CHL course is a viable option, it is imperative you remain confident in safely handling and firing the weapon you intend to carry. Above all, fight back and fight hard. Regardless, if your attacker outweighs you, do whatever it takes to end the threat. Fight dirty if you have to. Make noise. Do whatever it takes to get away and get to safety. Violent crime can incite fear and stress, both of which affect judgment and performance. So the more training you have beforehand, whether it's hand-to-hand combat or shooting a firearm, the better your chances of stopping any would-be attack against you. Crime rates can be a variable statistic depending on several factors. Regardless, if the rates are high or low, crimes can occur anywhere. Know your surroundings. Avoid situations that breed criminal activities. Contact law enforcement and have a plan to both escape and, if necessary, defend yourself and hard-earned property. Desert Sports Puts Terlingua on the Map by Michael Bauer. Ghost Town Comes Alive, Terlingua. Located deep in southwestern Brewster County, near the Rio Grande and the villages of Lajitas and Study Butte, and just off Highway 170, lies the small ghost town of Terlingua. A former mining community from the early 20th century, The small settlement soon became a ghost town of roofless rock structures after the mines closed in the 1940s and Terlingua was abandoned. The town has since bounced back as a tourist destination for park visitors due to its proximity to Big Bend National Park. Rafting and canoeing, as well as mountain biking, camping, and hiking are some of the major items that brings visitors to this deep desert enclave and helps keep businesses open, such as Desert Sports in Terlingua. Desert Sports was founded in the late 1980s by Mark Mills and operated out of Lajitas. However, after a couple of changes in ownership, as well as a few location moves, Desert Sports was incorporated in 1996 by Jim Carrico, former superintendent of Big Bend National Park, as well as Mike Long. Its owners, who have been there for years, have a vast expertise of the area and help tourists find their way around. We've been in business since 1996, and so we have a lot of knowledge and experience in the area, Crystal Albright, co-owner of Desert Sports, said. We offer river tours, whether it's canoeing or water rafting. It depends on the water levels. We also offer mountain bike rentals as well. We help some folks with shuttles. With our knowledge of the area, we can help people out. Desert Sports has specialized in guided backcountry tours with small but dedicated staff that helps people explore their corner of the Chihuahuan Desert. Their specialty trips of mountain biking, river running, hiking, and combo tours help offer visitors some of the most unique itineraries in Big Bend National Park and Big Bend Ranch State Park. A major part that draws people to Desert Sports, Albright said, is their canoe expedition through the lower canyons of the Rio Grande Wild and Scenic River. The most popular thing is probably getting on the river to see one of the canyons in the National Park or Big Bend Ranch State Park, Albright said. However, that's only available when it's in the right season. When the river is up and running and flowing well, which is usually late in the summer and fall, then we can go downstream through the canyon, Albright said. It's a 20-mile trip. At lower water, we can still see the canyon. We paddle upstream into the canyon. When it's low, we take canoes and explore that way so you can get a good feel for the tall, narrow limestone walls. Lately, Albright said, the water's been so low that they're currently not renting equipment or taking tours, but people can still hike into the canyons 3/4 of a mile. The biking trails remain open. Desert Sports also contains its own bike shop that operates in a large adobe building. That's grown in popularity, Albright said. We've worked really hard to establish really nice trails. Those trails are open. If people are going to ride here in the hotter months, then they definitely want to ride early in the morning and be off the trails around noon. This week, the cold front that has come through the basin has been welcome, according to Albright, as temperatures in Terlingua have been around the 70s and 60s. That helped us Tuesday morning, Albright said while laughing. It's been in the 90s here. We're still advising folks to ride earlier in the days, but just being flexible with the weather has been another important thing that tourists and visitors should be flexible with. It's hard to tell how many visitors Desert Sports receives every year, according to Albright, but she mentioned that spring break and the winter months are usually the busiest times of the year. I don't have numbers, but when we're the busiest is spring break and then most of the winter holidays like Christmas, Albright said. April is gaining some popularity. It's a good time if we've had a bunch of rain for the wildflowers, so right now a bunch of the cactus is in full bloom. The winter months have been big for tourists who can't make it out there during spring break. If people have flexibility and try to avoid the busiest times and come in February or April, it's pretty good, Albright said. Because May and June are the hottest months, that's when they start to see much less business and less hours operated. We actually close in June because the temperatures are high and the waters are low, Albright said. However, the months between October and April are what Albright calls their high seasons. We're open 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., Albright said. Then, starting in May, we close 1 day a week and then cut back on our hours until October again. The pandemic forced parks everywhere to shut down for a time last year before gradually reopening, and Desert Sports was one that was dealt a heavy blow from the COVID-19 closures. We closed mid-March, right in the middle of our busy season, and then didn't reopen until August 1st, Albright said. Our bike shop was able to stay open, and we were able to get a little bit of retail because of bike repairs that were considered essential. We were able to get help with loans and things to get us through time and help our employees. A lot of our staff does travel north during the summer to work other rivers and other areas where it's a little cooler. While hiking and canoeing, visitors can also see a range of animals, with javelinas, foxes, and coyotes being the most common ones to see, according to Albright. However, Albright said that they are concerned about the wildfires in the area, forcing some animals to migrate, including black bears. Less common are the black bears, and that's one thing that we're worried about with the fires, and if that's displacing them or what's happening there, Albright said. Occasionally, you'll see bears in the mountains, but they're not aggressive. The park doesn't want them to get used to people. Albright also mentioned mountain lions, but those are also rare. If someone sees a mountain lion, usually that mountain lion is elderly, has abscessed teeth, and is getting desperate, Albright said. As for flowers, bluebonnet season will bring most of the state's flowers around the area if there's enough rain. We had a pretty decent bluebonnet season, Albright said. But we didn't have a lot of rain this year, so they've already phased out. Right now it's the cactus and things like that. They're all these tiny flowers that some people don't notice, so we urge people to take time to look at them when they're out. Through the last 20 years, the small staff, which includes 8 to 10 people at Desert Sports, has continued to focus on other people's needs who are traveling through the area. We're a small company, Albright said. We have a small staff. All of our guides have worked here for a long time, some for over 20 years. We have newer ones who have worked here for 10 years. Master Gardeners. Plant these beautiful bloomers in the spring for color in the fall. By Debbie Rowland and Emmy Almschneider. When most people think of fall, they think of mums. There's another fall bloomer that you may want to add to your flower beds. If you want color in the fall, this is a great addition. Although green throughout most of the year, dense purple mounds of flowers proclaim that fall is here and summer is gone. Fall asters come in shades of pink, purple, lavender, and blue, and begin blooming about the same time as mums. The conspicuous flowers seem to be alive with butterflies and other pollinators. Asters grow to different heights, so check the labels to be sure they match the spot you plan to plant. About 12-inch to 18-inch is average. They grow in a mounded shape, reaching about 3 feet wide. Plant in the spring for fall blooms. They need at least 6 hours of sunlight per day. If you plant in too much shade, they will get leggy and fall over. To plant, dig a hole twice as wide as the size of the pot, and plant at the same depth as the plant is inside the pot. Adding some compost when backfilling will help the plant thrive. Water well when planting and continue occasional watering until established. Every other day should be fine. Check how wet the soil is because asters do not like wet feet. When the plant is about 10 inches tall, clip off the tips of the stems, which allows you to get many more flowers in the fall. Repeat this another 2 times before fall, which encourages them to be bushier and guarantees many more flowers. After the first freeze, they will die back to the ground. Leave the plant through winter as a shelter for birds and other wildlife. Cut back in late January or early February. You may be tempted to give up on this plant in the spring and yank it up. They return from the ground up and are slow to appear, usually in May. Fall aster can be with you year-round if you use the flower stalks to make a wreath. When dry, the flowers will retain their color, and the leaves and flowers will smell faintly of vanilla. Aster is deer-resistant. Visit aggiehorticulture.tamu.edu or westtexasgardening.org.
Hello. This is Kay reading the Odessa American for Sunday, April 18th, 2021. Life and Times. Wildflowers are beginning to bloom. You may notice wildflowers are beginning to bloom around Texas. Here is a little more information about wildflowers and how to plant them. Native wildflowers are low maintenance, attract bees and hummingbirds, and can be very fragrant. Seeds are usually the first way many gardeners try to introduce wildflowers, often without success. Aggie Horticulture recommends the following for preparing the soil correctly and ensuring the seed has direct contact to the soil by pressing or rolling. 1. Select a well-drained site. Moist sites create too much competition for wildflowers. 2. Use an herbicide to eliminate competition, optional. However, clover and cool weather grasses are too aggressive to allow wildflowers to become established. 3. Mow vegetation as short as possible and remove clippings to expose the soil. 4. Rake or lightly till the area no deeper than 1 inch. 5. Mix 1 part seed with 4 parts inert material, such as masonry sand, perlite, potting soil, etc., to help aid in seed distribution. 6. Broadcast 1/2 of the seed as uniformly as possible. Sow the remaining half perpendicular to the initial sowing. 7. Press the seed into the soil by walking on it or rolling over the area. The seeds only need to be 1/16 of an inch deep. Many seeds will be visible. Seeds sown too deep will not germinate. 8. Thin as needed. Weed out the grasses, but wait before pulling up all the same kind of plant. Weeds and wildflowers look the same. Castagnon is a horticulturist with Texas AgriLife Extension Service. She can be reached at 686-4700 or by email at jeannette@ag.canu.edu. Garden, Jeanette Castagnon. Pets of the Week. Photos courtesy of Odessa Humane Society. Camilla, a 10-month-old female border collie mix, needs to be adopted into a good home. To adopt Camilla or any of the other pets of the Humane Society of Odessa, stop by 7012 Mockingbird Lane, call 381-5503, visit www.odessahumanesociety.org, or leave a message at facebook.com/Humane Society of Odessa/. The Humane Society of Odessa is a no-kill pet adoption shelter, and all their pets require spay-neuter contract, along with an adoption application. Adoption fees for pets start at $50. Dak, a 3-month-old male kitten, needs to be adopted into a good home. Is an adorable-looking little black kitten. To adopt Dak or any of the other pets of the Humane Society of Odessa, stop by 7012 Mockingbird Lane, call 381-5503, visit www.odessahumanesociety.org, or leave a message at facebook.com/Humane Society of Odessa/. The Humane Society of Odessa is a no-kill pet adoption shelter, and all their pets require spay-neuter contract, along with an adoption application. Adoption fees for pets start at $50.
Hello, this is Cindy reading the Odessa American for Wednesday, April 21st. Don't Forget Breakfast by Brenda Garcia, MSRD, United Supermarkets Lifestyle Desk. One of the most common comments dietitians often hear from people is that they never or rarely eat breakfast. Some say they just don't have time. Others state that they get hungry by noon, when they eat breakfast in the morning. But that is exactly what is supposed to happen. Breakfast is just that. It breaks the fast. Most people more than likely have not eaten since the night before. This means they have probably gone without food for 8 to 12 hours. But your body is made to get you through that time. Much of that time was resting while you slept. Your metabolism slows down during that time since your activity also slows. But when you get up in the morning and move around, your metabolism should start moving faster again and needs energy to do so. However, by skipping a meal, your body thinks you're not able to replenish with food. So your natural response is to slow down the metabolism in order for your body to still do the things you demand of it in the morning. Skipping breakfast can often work against us in a quest to lose weight. Those who do eat breakfast often lose weight faster and or are able to maintain a healthy weight. Now let's tackle that other comment we hear. There is no time for breakfast. Keeping ready-to-go items on hand is a great way to have a breakfast prepared for those hectic mornings. These muffins are a great example of something you can make ahead of time. Plus, they are full of great nutrition. Most people will associate carrots with good eye health. And that is true, they do help promote vision. But they also can help promote skin health, prevent cancer, and decrease your risk of heart disease. Good thing, they also taste good. This is also an easy way to sneak in more veggies for those who may not be so enthusiastic about eating veggies. It will be our little secret. 1 bowl healthy carrot banana muffins. Ingredients: 1 ripe banana, mashed, 1/4 cup unsweetened applesauce, 1 cup shredded carrots, 1/2 cup unsweetened shredded coconut, 1/2 cup milk, 1/2 cup brown sugar, 1 teaspoon salt, 1/1/2 teaspoon baking soda, 1 teaspoon cinnamon, 1/1/4 cup whole wheat flour, 1/2 cup chopped almonds, 1/2 cup dark or semi-sweet if you prefer, chocolate chips or raisins. Instructions: preheat your oven to 350 degrees Fahrenheit. Prepare a 12 cup regular muffin tin with nonstick spray or paper liners. Set aside. In a medium mixing bowl, combine the banana, applesauce, carrots, coconut, and almond milk. Add to the brown sugar and stir to combine. Add the salt, baking soda, cinnamon, and flour, and stir until just combined. Avoid overstirring to ensure your muffins are light and fluffy. Stir in the walnuts and chocolate chips or raisins. Fill each muffin cup 2/3 full. You'll have about 1/3 of the batter left over for an additional 6 muffins. Bake the first 12 for about 22 minutes until a toothpick inserted in the center comes out clean. Remove to a cooling rack and spray half of the tin again with nonstick spray or line with paper liners. Fill with the remaining batter and bake.
Hello, this is Michael, reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, continuing with the Inside Pages, published Thursday, April 22nd. Midland Reporter Telegram, culture. La Mesa, the legendary home of the chicken fried steak, by Tumbleweed Smith. Editor's note: the following column first ran in September of 2011. We are running it today as the Chicken Fried Steak Festival takes place this weekend in La Mesa. Features writer J.C. Lewis will be traveling to La Mesa to report. The Texas legislature recognized La Mesa as the original home of the chicken fried steak. This year, La Mesa had its first Chicken Fried Steak Festival. "We had an awesome turnout," said La Mesa City Secretary Maria Hatchett, who worked with the event. "We had a dozen entries in the cooking contest. Judges included coaches from Texas Tech and TV personalities from Lubbock. The winner of the Chicken Fried Steak Cook-Off was Darren Epley of La Mesa. His cooking mantra is, be bold in your seasoning. I just used a lot of egg, a lot of flour, and a lot of salt and pepper," he said. "Just throw it on there. Don't get too fancy. I'm not too well known for cooking chicken fried steaks, but Mama and Grandma could fry up some good ones." The legendary story of the first chicken fried steak allegedly took place 100 years ago. Actually, it originated from an article in the Austin American Statesman written in 1976 by Larry Bashaw. It was a short order cook, and his name was Jimmy Don Perkins, Maria said. He worked in a cafe here called Ethel's Home Cooking. The waitress had two customers come in. One of them ordered fried chicken. The other person ordered steak. She wrote it down as chicken, comma, fried steak. Jimmy didn't want the waitress to think he didn't know what she was talking about. Really, he didn't notice the comma. So he decided to batter up a piece of round steak with flour and milk, just like you would do fried chicken, and dropped it into a frying pan filled with hot grease. That's kind of how it got started. It's funny because nowadays we eat it with mashed potatoes and cream gravy. But when it was first served, it came with French fries. Just like in eating establishments all over Texas, chicken fried steak is a popular menu item in La Mesa. It's in most of our restaurants, Maria said. We even have a Mexican-style chicken fried steak here. In addition to the chicken fried steak cook-off, there was a pie baking contest, a climbing wall, live entertainment, team roping, cow patty bingo, a pet costume contest, a wine tasting, and a classic car show. Approximately 52 vendors from as far away as Austin came and set up shop. Maria said the Chicken Fried Steak Festival is to be an annual event in La Mesa on the last weekend of April. The state's recognition, naming La Mesa as the official legendary home of the chicken fried steak, came the night before this year's festival started. We just thought it would be a good idea if they would proclaim us as the legendary home of the chicken fried steak, Maria said. The proclamation, signed by Governor Rick Perry, came overnight in the mail on Thursday before the event started on Friday.
Thank you for joining us for this week's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Lifestyle sections. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.
Next on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, Far West Texas News, followed by the Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American at 8.
This is a Recording Library of West Texas Community Update.
The Crisis Center of West Texas has scheduled Art Against Assault, a community art show at 7 p.m. April 20th at Cactus House, 114 East 29th Street. Artists are invited to create pieces that promote consent, create conversation, and demand change. All mediums will be accepted as long as the art is on theme. Photography, music, songs, drawings, poetry, spoken word, paintings, mixed media, canvas, sculptures, collages, etc. Artists can remain anonymous if they wish to do so. Submissions are due by April 23rd at bit.ly/artagainstassault. Art is due April 30th at Cactus House. April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month.
This week on the Recording Library of West Texas Radio's Saturday Night Movie, we continue our series of Oscar-winning films. Saturday, we present the 2012 film awarded Best Picture, Argo.
Actions of Iran have shocked the civilized world.
Our embassy has been seized and more than 60 American citizens continue to be held as hostages.
If we're going to go, then we need to go now.
We've got Revolutionary Guards going door to door.
Take a miracle to get them out.
They're a Canadian film crew for a science fiction movie.
I fly into Tehran. We all fly out together as a film
this
crew.
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
You have 72 hours to get them out.
You really believe your little story is going to make a difference when there's a gun to our heads?
I think my little story is the only thing between you and a gun to your head.
The 2012 winner for Best Picture, Argo. Audio described. Saturday night at 7 on Recording Library of West Texas Radio.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 61 and mostly cloudy. Tonight, clear with a low in the mid-60s. Then tomorrow clear with a high in the upper 70s. Tomorrow night clear with a low in the low 60s.